From the City of Angels, near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, creative dreaming. Thanks to the many of you who sent us emails today about our Ghost to Ghost show last night. I'm glad you enjoyed it. We'll do it again next year. Here's what's happening. A serious security vulnerability in Windows code is currently being exploited. Google has discovered the flaw, which also affects Adobe Flash Media Player. Adobe issued a fix a few days later, but Microsoft still has not issued its own. The flaw, which exists in the Windows kernel, they call it, can be used as a security sandbox escape, according to Google. Most software contains sandboxes in order to stop malicious or malfunctioning programs from damaging or snooping on the rest of the computer. Few institutions have a better track record calling presidential races than the U.S. stock market. And at the moment, it's sending information that counts against Democrat Hillary Clinton. The performance of the S&P 500 index has signaled the outcome of every presidential election since 1984, according to analysis by the Strategus Research Partners. A gain in the benchmark for American equity in the 3 months prior to the vote has seen the incumbent party win 86% of the time since 1928. And right now, the gauge is down 3.6% since August 8th, with just a week to go until the vote, which is pushing well for Donald Trump. Let's check in with Michael Shedlock, Mish, about the economy. What do you think about the fourth quarter, Mr. Shedlock?
It's not looking all that good to me. We had GDP up 2.9%. A lot of that was an inventory build. And I don't think that we need to be building inventories because I don't think sales are there. Right now I'm researching something, though, that's kind of interesting. What do you think? What are your healthcare costs up? What are your readers telling you, saying to you about healthcare costs? In Minnesota today, they hiked premiums 60%. And scheduled hikes in Texas are 30% higher next year, 30% in Mississippi, 50% in Illinois, Arizona, jeez, and Pennsylvania, 93%, George, in New Mexico. I'm trying to figure this out because the BLS tells us that health care is only going up 5%.
That's crazy. It's going way up.
It is, George. And I'm looking, listen to this statement. They break it down. They actually tell us that health care is 0.47% of the CPI. But dental costs is nearly 50% more. And here's what they say. This is the key. The approach implicitly assumes the level of service is strictly a function of the benefits paid. In other words, the more the healthcare insurers pay to the hospitals, the more the BLS assumes the service you're getting, whether your service is going down or not. I think costs are going up 30-40%.
Jeez, people can't afford that, Mish. They can't afford that.
No, they can't. You know, George, some people are getting off. There's a subset of people who, you know, weren't not insured before, literally can't afford anything, that are now on Medicaid getting it for free. But the average person and the average company that also has to pay these premiums because it's a shared responsibility, the average person is seeing they have to pay more for their corporate benefits. The corporation has to pay more. Everyone's receiving less except for that, you know, small subset of people who, you know, didn't have anything before but now get it. George, we can't afford this. I don't know what the answer is, but it's unsustainable here, George.
Stay tuned for more. Now, with a week to go for the election, and anything could happen, things are just flying all over the place. Donald Trump, they say, reportedly is inching ahead in some of these polls. Howard Bloom has been watching this for since the inception of the primaries. He does support Hillary Clinton. I'm correct when I say that, Howard, am I not?
Absolutely. Yes, you got it on target.
Okay, now at this point, are you changing? Are you waning your support?
If anything, I'm increasing it. You know, we had this bombshell over the weekend the James Comey FBI revelation,
yes,
that they discovered more emails. But the problem is that that scandal is covering up the most vital fact of this election. Now, I'm going to sound really partisan, so bear with me. Donald Trump is everything he accuses Hillary Clinton of being. He is a criminal, he is a liar, and he's corrupt. And here are some of the facts that have been crowded out of the headlines by Comey's FBI bombshell. There are 75 current law cases, court cases, pending against Donald Trump. 75. That means that if he's elected president, we'll have a president who's in court over and over and over again. He has been the subject of 4,500 lawsuits altogether. He's going to be in court in November for fraud and racketeering because of Trump University. The cases against Trump University include a $40 million class action suit, and things do not look good in the courts for Trump because Trump tried to handle things in his usual way, attack the person who is complaining about you, destroy that person. So he sued the female lead plaintiff in this class action suit, and she was awarded almost $1 million, $798,000 in legal fees. But that's not all. Trump is going to be in court again December 16th in the case of, brace yourself, in the case of raping a 13-year-old in 1994. Trump allegedly tied her to a bed, threatened her and her family, and a witness says that she also witnessed Trump forcing both the 13-year-old and a 12-year-old girl to perform things that we can't pronounce on radio on him, and then physically abused the both of them afterward. Then there's the story of the Trump server that was set up solely to deal with Russia. Now, that may not be true, but right now that story is circulating and there's a lot of fact backing it. And there's the fact that Fred Trump, now this doesn't seem relevant until you understand where it fits. Fred Trump, Donald's dad, was arrested in 1927 after a Ku Klux Klan riot in Jamaica, Queens. Why is that relevant? Because Trump learned everything he knows at his father's knee. And when he and his father were served with papers in 1973 accusing them of racial discrimination, every time they were ordered by the court to produce evidence, they destroyed the evidence. They did exactly what they're accusing Hillary Clinton of doing. Then there's corruption. When former Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott investigated Trump University, he found that its teaching was, in his words, worthless, and that it encouraged illegal actions, and that its practices constituted civil fraud, but he failed to prosecute.
What do you say?
Later he received a $35,000 contribution from Trump.
So do we just cancel this election?
No, we can't. The people on, you know, my friends who are Republicans, and I have an awful lot of them, and they're very dear to me, believe that putting Hillary Clinton in office would be the absolute destruction of the United States of America. People like me believe that Donald Trump could be the absolute destruction of the United States of America. We're going to have to look at
what a mess. I got to tell you, this is a mess.
But we have to look at the policies these people represent, look very carefully at the facts, and we have to make a decision, and we must vote. This is the most important election possibly in your lifetime and mine.
Well, we shall see what happens. I mean, anything could happen. I mean, Hillary could get indicted. Who knows what's going on? That's what's so confusing about this, Howard. Okay, thank you so much. New Jersey State Police are investigating a report of a needle found in a young child's Halloween candy. They used to check for this during my kid days all the time. Troopers received a report of a sewing needle found in a Tootsie Roll collected in a child's basket in New Jersey. Jeez. In Philadelphia, medical mysteries being investigated in Montgomery County to learn more about a lung infection that has been linked to water. This disease is called NTM. It's a lung infection similar to tuberculosis. It's caused by a bacteria found mainly in water, but also in soil and air. Doctors say NTM is rare, but the number of patients seems to be growing. How about this? A Florida man in police custody removed his glass eye and threw it at a hospital personnel, according to cops who rearrested the suspect on a felony charge for that. Jeez. Okay, up next, the Patriot Arc Run. What does this all mean? You'll find out in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. By the way, the Trump allegations of the minor, that is a civil situation, not criminal. Big difference. Just want you to know that. Our guest for the next couple hours, Benjamin Dancer. Benjamin Dancer is a journalist who writes for a variety of magazines and journals, including the Truth Out, the Copperfield Review as well, and the Denver Post. He is a teacher, works for the Colorado EMP Task Force on National and Homeland Security. And you know we have been talking for a couple of years now about protecting our power grid. Author of the new book, Patriot Run. And here he is on Coast to Coast. Benjamin, welcome to the program.
Hi, George. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you, too. We are so concerned about the power grid, Benjamin. I've had Dan Rather on, who's concerned about the Internet possibilities of taking the grid down, as you are. We've talked about the EMP attacks, solar flares from the sun. Is anybody really doing anything yet about this?
You know, 2 weeks ago, President Obama signed an executive order issuing some action to be done around the space weather threat. So that was really encouraging. So we'll see how that plays out. And the way that order is written, you can read this on my website, benjamindancer.com. The way that order is written, the action will go on in perpetuity of beyond his term. So the next president
could pull something off and get this done. Oh, boy, I hope so. You know, we keep pushing on our end. Your book, Patriot Arch, it's a difficult
Patriarch Run.
I'm going to have you pronounce it.
Yeah, Patriarch Run.
Tell me about the title. It's a thriller, right?
Yeah, it's a thriller. The bad guy in the story wants to kill you and I and everybody we love by taking down the grid. And what's really scary about that, as you and I know, is that that's possible. So what I did is I read the EMP Commission report published in 2008, and I was stunned by what I found there. And I realized that that was going to be what my thriller was going to be about. And after I was done with the story, I sent it to some of the authors of that report. And fortunately for me, they gave me the time to read my story, and they put their name on it, endorsed it as realistic. And as a matter of fact, now I work for Dr. Peter Pry.
Oh, great guy.
You had on your show.
Yeah.
And he is the executive director of my task force.
He is one of the few people who has never stopped pushing to get our grid fixed and insulated against
it. Yes, and everything that's been accomplished thus far has been accomplished by his task force. So all the progress we've made is thanks to his diligence. He's been relentless on this issue.
Your book, The Bad Guy, wants to take the grid down with a sophisticated cyber attack, which is extremely realistic right now, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. So you could do this. Almost any state actor with any technical capability could do this, and we could do it to them. So I'm talking about Russia, North Korea, Iran, potentially ISIS, potentially a kid in his college dorm. The only reason it hasn't happened on a large level, and it's happening now, it's happening on micro levels all the time. The only reason nobody's pulled the trigger on this weapon in on a full-scale way is mutually assured destruction. It is that catastrophic. The National Intelligence Council listed a cyber attack on our critical infrastructure under the same type of threat as a nuclear war.
Wow. I believe that. Well, we see what's happening with our election and the possibility of hacking there by somebody, some group, and there's some real concern there, Benjamin.
Yes. Well, the cyber threat is vast. There are a lot of things you could do now that our lives have become totally digital. And we were listening to some identity theft commercials during the break. But now we've reached a level where we could use cyber to create mass casualties. If we could think about the grid for a minute, and I'm thinking about some of that critical infrastructure, take the large transformers, because that's a really good way to illustrate how vulnerable we've allowed ourselves to become. These units are about the size of a single-story garage. They're handcrafted. They take 1 to 2 years to manufacture when everything's working perfectly. a cyber attack would target these, and by doing so, they would catch on fire, they would explode, they would be destroyed, and the surrounding grid would collapse. There are 2,100 of them in the country. If you targeted enough of them, you could bring down the whole grid nationwide. And what's really scary about this, it's hard to conceive how we'd replace them before society collapsed. They're very difficult to transport. They're very difficult to install. And without the assistance of electricity, they couldn't even be manufactured.
Well, they've estimated that close to 90% of the population in this country alone would die within a year if the power goes down.
That's Dr. Pry's estimate. And let's make that concrete for our listeners, because this can be an abstract concept until somebody walks you through it. Our food system in this country, every component of it is electrically powered. So if I go back 100 years, that's the best way I can make sense of this. 100 years ago, you couldn't commit mass murder by taking down the grid. People ate locally. Food was grown outside the urban centers.
Mm-hmm.
And the agricultural area per capita was greater then than it is today. That's a fancy way to say there was more farmland per person.
And we weren't stuck on the electrical grid.
No, we didn't need it then, and one that didn't exist then. Fast forward to today, you got 325 million Americans. Our urban centers have outstripped the carrying capacity of the surrounding landscapes, and food is shipped over very long supply lines that are often global, and all these supply lines are dependent on refined fuels, which is manufactured with electricity. So another way to say that is 100 years ago, and let me back up, it was the advent of reliable, widely available electrical power that allowed us to increase the carrying capacity of Earth from less than 2 billion people 100 years ago to 7.5 billion people today. So these are technologies. Electricity has brought on fertilizers, by far the most important in the list, that came online in the 1940s. Pesticides, mechanical irrigation, farm machinery, the fuel to power that farm machinery, our food processing warehouses, all those components are not warehouses, I meant factories. All those components are electrically powered. So if the grid were to go down and not come back up again, you simply cannot feed America.
And you got a huge problem with our nuclear power plants.
Oh,
because
that is a great point. So I think our listeners probably remember Fukushima. So my novel goes into this detail as it's explained to the reader. There are about 100 commercial nuclear facilities in America. Those are dependent on electricity to run safely. If the grid were to go down, they do have backup generators running on diesel fuel. Well, when that diesel tank runs out and there's no fresh fuel supply, you have a huge problem. There is no reducing the half-life of a radioactive isotope. So if we remember Fukushima, what happened there was you couldn't cool the spent fuel rods and you had a meltdown. There are several dozen Fukushima-type nuclear plants in America, and you would have Fukushima events all over the country.
Geez. In your book, Patriarch Run, the protagonist wants to take the power grid down. Why? What's his motive?
His motive is an overpopulation apocalypse. In his point of view, there are too many people. And when he looks into the future, he sees an ecological crisis with humanity creating a large extinction event. And in his ethics, he calculates the cost of having all of humanity go off that cliff along with all the other ecology on Earth, versus taking out a few billion people today. And when he does the math, he chooses to take out you and I and everybody we love.
He's a sick hero? Is that what he thinks he is?
He wants to sacrifice himself and his family for the sake of humanity. And I'll leave it up to the reader to decide if he's a hero or a bad guy or what you make of him. my intent was to create some drama to highlight how vulnerable we are. A small group of people have the power to totally cripple this country and kill a great many of us.
We're going to take phone calls next hour with Benjamin Dancer. In a moment, we will be joined by a meteorologist who also sees this as a huge concern. We shall be back. And we're going to be back in a moment with Benjamin Dancer. We talk about the power grid. It could be taken down with some kind of a hack. And we're going to be joined in a moment by Sandy McDonald, who is a meteorologist who has his own views on what we can do as well. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Benjamin Dancer with us, author of Patriarch Run, the book, the novel about a cyber attack on the power grid. Benjamin, tell us a little bit about Sandy McDonald, whom we're going to bring in for a moment in just a second. How did you meet him, and tell me his involvement?
I met Sandy at the Space Weather Conference in Broomfield, Colorado last spring. He gave a talk, and he's going to go over the outline of that talk in a minute, I'm sure, about how we can solve this national security threat and climate change with the same solution. It was a profound epiphany for me hearing him talk, and ever since I heard that, I've been in touch with him. He's become a friend. I've written some articles on his research, and I wanted him to come on the air to talk for a minute with us.
All right. Well, Sandy McDonald, of course, is a meteorologist, previously led NOAA's Forecast Systems Laboratory. Let's bring Sandy in right now. Real name is Alexander Sandy McDonald. How did you get the nickname, Sandy?
It's been a nickname since I've been a little child. My father was also Alexander, and that's a good Scottish nickname.
And it stuck with you. Well, tell me a little bit about some of your work and your published paper.
Okay, it started a number of years ago when I realized that basically wind and solar energy don't work very well if you just have a small geographic area. But if you can trade wind and solar energy over a large area, like the whole 48 states, it's reliable because the problem with wind and solar energy is they're intermittent, and they tend to, you know, be gone at the same time. Solar energy is not there at night. If the wind is not blowing, it's probably an area 1,000 miles across where the wind's not blowing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are able to trade energy over the whole 48 states using something called a high voltage direct current line, then it becomes very reliable and cheap. So as a weatherman, I wanted to prove that that was true. And as a lab director, we had a big study that went on for about 6 years, and it really showed that. And the further point that kind of connects it with Benjamin's work is, as a NOAA person, I also have studied solar storms. My colleagues, you know, really had looked at the idea that a very strong solar storm could knock out our transformers and our electricity nationwide for a long time, weeks or months. And so the talk that I gave that Benjamin's referring to, I essentially said we can really solve both of those by a national underground network of high voltage direct current lines, and that's how I got this idea going.
And Sandy, would this be in addition to the power grid or in place of?
It would be completely in addition. I've referred to it as the underground energy interstate because, like our interstate that was built in the late part of the last century, the interstate highway system, it didn't replace or get rid of the state or local highways. It really provided a high-speed overlay that allowed us to have safe access to electricity, and also because it would allow a national market, would allow us to, you know, be able to get electricity from wherever the wind is blowing or the sun is shining at a given moment. anywhere, anytime, moving it from where people need it to where it is being created.
Now, does the plan have teeth? Are there people out there that are willing to take a chance with this?
I think, to me, what it really is a really important project for the United States for this 21st century. I would love to see in the next 5 or 10 years, essentially do just what President Eisenhower did. He said, we're going to build an interstate highway system because of the military and commercial needs. And this is essentially the same thing. We have a system that's vulnerable to solar storms. It's vulnerable to
EMP attacks.
Yeah, EMP attack. It's even vulnerable to people with bad intent. If there's a lot of them,
right.
who attack different parts. So this basically is the idea. Like Eisenhower said, we'll build a national system that's robust and resilient, and also solves this great and difficult issue of fossil fuels putting too much greenhouse gases in the air.
Well, Sandy, thank you for coming on to share some of that and those plans. And Benjamin, how many people are beginning to think this way?
Well, I think there's a rising tide of awareness. So every conquering army in human history has understood a very basic truth. A civilization is as vulnerable as its food supply. We have staked our lives, you and I, George, to the reliability of the grid. If it were to go down, we could not feed our families.
No.
When you realize that, it will not sit well with you, and you'll demand something be done.
Well, and I've always thought, Benjamin, that every company now that lives by the internet, and that would be companies like Amazon and Microsoft and Apple and people like that, companies like that, that they should contribute to protecting the power grid as an investment. Because if the power grid goes down, that business is out.
Not only is the business out, but it is a mortal threat. So if it went down in a small way, it could affect business. If it went down in a big way, it's the end of our civilization. So this could be anything from the end of America to a major disruption financially, depending on how it happens, if it happened.
There was a cyber attack that destroyed Iran's centrifuges back about 6 years ago.
Yes, in 2010.
Who pulled that off? How did that happen?
Well, we think it was Israel and the United, with a little bit of help from the United States. So if people remember, Iran was trying to build a nuclear arsenal, and it had these centrifuges, and it was in its process of carrying that out. When Stuxnet, some cyber technology, was used to destroy the hardware. The way that went down is, we think, it was introduced through a thumb drive, a USB, and not directly. This facility in Iran was not connected to the internet. They think that a thumb drive infected files, and that Stuxnet sought its way through the web, through the internet.
Amazing.
Until it found its target. So it kind of propagated itself globally until it got to where it wanted to be and then was turned on.
How did they get the thumb drive into the facility? Somebody walked it in, I guess.
Well, no, they didn't have to get it into the facility. What they did was, say you and I are at a conference and I stick a thumb drive in your laptop.
Okay.
Now your laptop has it, and you're going to go later on to somewhere where I want this to eventually end up, and it just kind of propagates that way.
Wow. Boy, this is unbelievable technology.
And we're much more vulnerable than that, because, boy, I could log on to my computer, and so could you if you had the know-how, and using binary code, you can access any electronic control system on the internet.
Is it that easy?
It's that easy. The BBC, you can see this on my website, benjamindancer.com. The BBC released a documentary recently where they're claiming that the largest blackout in North American history in 2003 was caused by the blaster worm. The claim of this documentary is that it was a cyber attack, whereas in real time it was blamed on a fallen branch.
Who's got the capability, Benjamin, to get into the grid, to take down systems?
Well, you got to assume everybody. We have the capability to do it to them. They have the capability to do it to us. What stops us from doing it to each other is mutually assured destruction, but what's to keep this technology from getting into the hands of ISIS, of a kid in his college dorm, of a hacker who wants to make a name for himself?
Mm-hmm. Like the guy in your book.
Like the guy in my book. The madman in my book decides that he has a moral obligation to kill you and me, and then he has the means to do it. And that is a little bit scary. I'm glad that that character in my story is fiction, but the reason why I'm on the air with you tonight is I know that the threat is real.
It is real. It is real. It's happening. It could happen at any moment. It has happened. I think governments have hushed it up. They don't want to scare us.
Oh, yeah. It's happened. Well, people... State actors test their capabilities, and we're doing this all the time. We do it to them, they do it to us. They turn this on, they turn that off, they put malware in our infrastructure to use for later. We find malware all the time in places where it shouldn't be. If our listeners remember what happened in Bhopal, India,
thousands died there.
Yeah. In 1984, there was a pesticide facility in India. It had a leak, and it released poisonous gas and killed thousands of people, almost 500,000 injuries, worst industrial disaster in world history. You could do that with cyber at any chemical manufacturing plant in America, or in any manufacturing plant connected to the internet in the world.
You can shut down water supplies.
You can shut down water supplies. And the way our industrial system works is you cannot shut down hard a facility without creating catastrophe. So I'm talking about oil refineries, chemical manufacturing facilities, nuclear power plants. These aren't designed to just shut down without following protocol. And if you don't have backup power to ease this process, you're going to have explosions and you're going to have fires and you're going to have some really bad stuff. In a worst case scenario, it's the internet that goes down. That's why I chose, or not the internet, the power grid.
Well, we saw earlier, several days ago, on the East Coast, part of the internet did go down, Twitter went down, and people just went crazy.
And that's just an inconvenience, right? So we get inconvenienced by that, and it really freaks us out. What I think our listeners need to wake up to is that we're not talking about things like identity theft here, the inconvenience of not having your phone or your Facebook or your Twitter. We're talking about how are you going to feed your kids? The grocery store has a 3-day supply of food. That's gone instantly in a crisis. If you can find a way to feed your kids, what are they going to drink? Where are you going to find clean, safe drinking water if there's nothing in your tap?
What about your toilets? You can't even flush those.
You can't flush your toilet. How do you handle your family's waste? Dr. Pry in the EMP Commission report estimate that a large number of these casualties are going to come from diseases vanquished by modern sanitation.
Yep.
If you're in a large urban center, people do not know how to dispose of their waste without getting other people sick.
Benjamin, when the power goes out for a day, people go crazy. If the power goes out for an hour, people go crazy.
Yes.
This is something that could last years.
It could last months. It could last years, depending on the severity. And so to wrap your head around this, you've got to ask yourself, what if the whole country was in the crisis with me and there was no one to come to my aid? What if it's that bad? And it's possible it can be that bad. In a worst case scenario, it will be.
And this is real.
Yes.
This is very real.
You have no food, you have no water. And our ethics will evolve, George. If you and I can't feed our kids, our ethics are going to change really rapidly, and society is going to collapse.
Oh, you know, we've been talking about storable food for years, just to put that aside, but there's so much more you have to do. And the biggest problem, Benjamin, is how long will it last? And that it could go indefinitely.
Yeah. Well, in a worst case scenario, it's the end. It's the end of civilization. I'm talking planet wide. So in a really extreme event, there's no country that could come to your aid.
The bad guy in Patriarch Run, was he educated in computers?
He gets educated as he goes. He's a special operator, and he's very good at what he does. He's sent to China to steal some artificial intelligence. And after he steals it, he decides rather than turn it over to the United States, he's going to use it in order to restart the clock. His vision of North America is bison herds running on the plains of abandoned cities and things going back to the way they were mm-hmm. 1,000 years ago.
Was there an event that did this to him?
The event that did this to him, it would be the continued population growth of the world. So he travels all over the world, and he's seeing all the world's problems as a special operator, and he comes to one conclusion. All of the things he's worried about, whether they be environmental, national security, issues of loss of liberty, they all have the same root cause, and that's just there's more and more and more people. And in his mind, he can restart the clock and solve all the world's problems by getting rid of most of us.
And he tries his best to do that, doesn't he?
And what's scary about it is I did the research, and I know that what this bad guy did can be done.
Yes.
And I have the endorsement of Dr. Pry and Dr. Frankel, people who are on the EMP Commission, who have verified that the threat is real, and the way it's depicted in the novel is real. And that is that scares me, and I'm the author.
And how do you fight against this, Benjamin? How do you, we've talked about insulating the grid, of course, but what else can you do?
Well, we can. Let me give you two paths. One path will be down the path Sandy McDonald's talking about, but before I present, let me present this other path.
All right.
If we chose a sustainable population size, the grid could go down and it would inconvenience us. It'd be like what happened, you know, a little while ago. We'd be frustrated, we'd be put out, but we wouldn't die because our food system would not be dependent on electricity. We have outstretched the pre-electrical carrying capacity of this continent. In other words, without the support of the efficiencies afforded to us by electricity, we can't eat. We don't have to choose a population size that big. Now, if that's too hard of a sell and we're not going to go down that path, then we have to go down another path, and that's to harden the grid and to make it more difficult to bring it down.
Which we should do anyway.
Sandy's proposal, I think, is just so attractive for this reason. It brings the left and it brings the right together to solve two problems with one solution. This unprecedented national security threat, the greatest national security threat any civilization has ever faced, the total loss of its food supply.
Oh, yeah.
And it also solves climate change. And that, to me, is beautiful because the right can't solve national security on its own. The left can't solve sustainability on its own. And if we talk to each other and work together and solve both problems with one solution, I think that's profound.
Could we do it all?
Yes.
Protect the grid, renewable energy, just do a complete package.
Yeah, so if you were going to, where Sandy was going with what he was saying is, you're going to get to 80% renewables within 15 years with today's technology, no battery storage, no backup generation needed, so it keeps the cost down. And so you solve climate change by getting to 80% renewables.
Nothing wrong with that. Let's take some phone calls with you, Benjamin, when we come back in a moment as we talk about protecting the power grid. His book is called Patriarch Run. It's about some whack job who tries to take down the internet and take down the power grid.